Steps on it. It's there!
Don't think, don't hate, do!
The best team of the modern era.
This is AFL Exchange on afl.com.au.
G'day everyone, welcome along to AFL Exchange for another week, the round 20 edition. My name's Matt Thompson, Drew Petrie is here, superstar from the North Melbourne Football Club. Hello Drew.
Hello Matt, good to be here again. And last week I just wanted to give a mention, my big week four was for the Geelong Cats last week, and they were sensational on Saturday night down at the Cattery. I felt that they had a bit of pressure going into the game, and Stevie J missing through suspension was going to, I thought it was going to affect them, but... No Buddy, no Sydney maybe as well, but the Cats were great.
And potentially no Buddy again this week, Drew Lowther, for what is a critical game for both the Swans and the Pies.
Absolutely, huge one on Friday night. G'day boys, good to be with you once again. I was at the Q Clash on the weekend, Drew.
Right, you kept that one on the quiet?
Not really.
Did you?
Oh. I told most of my mates.
Oh, yeah. Hence I didn't find out.
It was good though to go up into the first Q Clash I've witnessed.
Yep.
And a really awful first half. The 15 minutes of second quarter is the worst footy I've seen for a long, long time. You could have put the goals on either wing because that's the way they were taking the footy. It was as if the centre corridor didn't exist. Both teams really insistent on the switch and not doing it very well. But after half time, it was good. It was entertaining game of footy, high scoring. Tom Lynch played fantastically again. Aaron Hall, who's revitalised himself the last 3 weeks, had 24, 24 and 28, 30-odd. So 4 weeks, I should say. He was fantastic. And, yeah, it was an entertaining game of footy.
You spent a bit of time in our Queensland bureau with our correspondent Michael Whiting.
Yep.
What do you make of footy in Queensland at the moment? Did you get a sense of things while you were up there?
It's an interesting time for both clubs, obviously, anchored to the bottom of the ladder. It looks like, well, we'll find out this weekend who will have the number one draft pick. The Blues go up there and face the Lions. The Lions have been really good early in matches. They just lack that bit of polish and bit of quality. Their footy is still not great, though. I'm watching them live for the first time in a fair few weeks, Matty. Was, probably illustrated they lack a key forward. They've got some defensive problems. Their midfield's wonderful. They've been really crueled by injuries. Pierce Hanley, particularly after half time, Michael Whiting's our journalist up there. He loves this term. He ran on top of the ground. Not sure what it means, but he looked really good, carried the footy a lot, really penetrated their forward 50. So they get a few more of these guys in. They've still got a number of guys out of the team. It looks okay, but they obviously need to fill those key posts at either end of the ground. Gold Coast the same. Missed with a lot of guys, but they've got some guys who are starting to stand up. I thought Stephen May, we've written about it a couple of times on the website this week, Lynch is a real leader in the team. He's obviously playing some really good footy again. He's a great contested marker. Stephen May, who was not being seen as a leader, pulled him out of a melee at quarter time, and they had this short little heated exchange.
Yeah.
But we've spoken to Rodney Eade, and Stephen May has answered the question himself this week at a press conference about this leadership stuff that they've been working on throughout the year. Maybe that's just starting to generate a bit more. Their footy in the last few weeks has been a lot better. I think they've probably taken a few steps back this year. But
so you thought that was all right, that Stevie May doing what he did?
Yeah, my understanding is that Tom Lynch spoke about it before the game to the group about not getting sucked in, and then he did at quarter time. The melee happened just in front of us.
Yeah, but his spoiling attempt that created that incident wasn't overly late. I think he was within his rights to attempt to spoil or attempt to compete. So in my eyes, I don't think Lynch crossed the line or did, in my eyes, didn't do anything undisciplined.
No, but the melee went on for 20 or 30 seconds after that. And that's when May came in and you know, the heat had gone out of it by that stage. The bell had rung for quarter time. So, yeah, I thought it was great leadership, and particularly because the bloke involved in the melee was the one who said, let's not get sucked in.
Yep.
So we've only heard from May. We haven't heard from Lynch, but he said that they've spoken about it after the game and that Lynch apologised to him and we're all good and we go on.
Okay. We spoke about that particular incident in our leadership group meeting on Tuesday of this week, and just had a look at the vision and just discussed amongst ourselves what we thought of it.
And I take it from your comments that you didn't look on it favourably.
No, I'm not saying that at all. No, I'm not going to say what the conversation involved, but we use that as an example. We just use that as a bit of a case study.
So how often do you do that, look at vision across the competition?
Yeah, we've done it, I think, 3 times this year. There's been a few different incidents with varying sides.
What, with conflict between teammates? Is that what you look for or not?
Not all the time. No, and we obviously look at a heap of our stuff, and first and foremost, we look inside, not sort of judging what goes on at other clubs, but we just used it as a case study just to get some good discussion.
So you're not prepared to give us your opinion as to what you thought of it?
No.
Okay. You might be able to give your opinion on this, because this is an opinion-based show.
We like AFL feedback.
Exchange.
When did that happen?
What did you think of the 4 umpires? Just quickly, I don't want to harp on it, but you obviously saw it with your own eyes.
The most interesting thing, and wrote about on the weekend, was centre bounces, that an umpire was inside to have a good look. They weren't noticeable, which I thought was a good thing in what was, particularly, as I said before, halftime, really ugly game.
Yeah, our feedback's something that we thrive on here at AFL Exchange. You constantly giving me feedback and Matty feedback. Yep. We're always thrown under the bus. We had some great feedback on after last week's show.
What did you think of the umpires, Drew?
So
that was his question.
Yeah, I know, but we're talking
towards you.
But we're talking about sort of. I didn't see the game. So just on the topic of feedback.
Let him nail him. Finish his point.
I don't think he's got a zinger up his sleeve.
I don't have a zinger. This is just about feedback.
The AFL has been really encouraged with the trials that they did in the NAB Challenge. We spoke to Wayne Campbell before the start of the year, so they really want it. I think it's just a matter of dollars, Matt.
Well, he wants professional umpires. Yep. I can't imagine, like, at least some professional full-time umpires. So if they umpire 2 games a week, they can effectively become full-time. But I don't understand why there's not. How can there not be enough money in our game to pay for that?
Yeah.
That's
questionable.
Well, how much are they going to be earning? What's enough for an umpire?
Well, you can have full-time umpires that work with, the state leagues.
Development and stuff as well. It's part of their job, exactly. Yeah,
there's definitely positions available for sure.
Your feedback. You got some feedback.
Yeah, I've got some feedback. At AFL Exchange is our Twitter handle, and we love feedback. Jim B, at Jim Brosson, gave us some good feedback. That's how his name. Brosson. How would you say that? Brosson. Jim Brosson. Jay Brosson.
Right.
Got in touch with us at AFL Exchange and just gave us some feedback on last week's show. So nice to hear from you, Jim. Your tweet read, at AFL Exchange, without Drew Lowther is fantastic. Interesting discussion on footy. At AFL Exchange, with Drew Lowther is a cliche, blokey banter waste of our time.
Cop that.
Right between the eyes.
I don't think you're really speaking cliches.
How would you like to respond to Jim? At Jim Brosson.
Well, Brosson. The first thing I'd say, Drew, is I think this is real last segment sort of stuff.
You deserve a right of reply.
Second thing, just work on your public reading a little bit.
Yeah, like that politician did the other night, didn't she? Introducing, or she was pumping up the new speaker, Tony Smith, is it? And she said, speaking of how good of a family man Tony is, and he's a great family man, you know, Pam... and his wife, how good they are. Well, Pam is his wife. So I need to get in touch with that lady.
Tony Abbott slipped up as well. He called the new speaker Madam Speaker inadvertently. That was a bit of a slip up.
Anyway, I welcome Jim's comments. So I'll try and concentrate on footy a little bit more.
What a cracking start to the program we have. We've spoken about some of the worst teams in the competition off the top. We've had some feedback. Let's get stuck into the actual rundown.
But the pieces for the Lions and the Suns are there. Well, you'd think... I spoke to Fish, Michael Whiting.
That wasn't your cue to keep talking about them.
But it's interesting, Matt, because you do look at their ladder position and think, well, they're no good. But I don't think they're as bad as...
No, I don't think they are either, but I really worry about footy in Queensland because...
What sort of player do the Suns need? I asked Michael Whiting this question, who covers them better than anyone in the country. He says it's a question he asks himself all the time.
Yeah.
What do they need?
I don't think they need one player.
No. Well, you look at their... forward line, their midfield and their back line, and they're laced with
talented. Well, that's the team, Drew.
Yeah.
I know. Could have just said you look at the team.
But just looking through each line, their forwards, brilliant, mids, brilliant, back, Stevie May, Sam Day's gone back there as well.
Have you had
Stevie May? May's a
terrific player.
Very, very good. Very good player. He's going to be a very good player in the future as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. But he is now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's already. Yeah, true. But then you look at Brisbane. I think Brisbane got more work to do.
They have.
A couple of key forwards, as you mentioned, and some probably key defensive posts. But their midfield's pretty good.
So if Brisbane were able to grab a couple of mature guys
yes,
in the trade period, then they could rock it up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If they go through the draft, it's going to be a longer process.
Yes.
But definitely at both ends of the ground, they've got some holes.
Yep.
All right, this is AFL Exchange. You can join the conversation at AFL Exchange on Twitter. That's our intro. Let's get to the rundown that Jack's put together and spent a lot of time on. Our first talking point off the top today, the situation at Collingwood with Lachie Keefe and Josh Thomas. And the question we're asking, did the Pies do the right thing by them? Of course, they've agreed to redraft them through the rookie process at the end of their suspension, or when their suspension's kind of come to an end. They're available to play potentially again into 2017. Nathan Buckley said on Wednesday that he's going to actually in the coming weeks be sitting down with both of them and having a conversation about whether or not they want to play footy again.
Why do we say that?
What was it?
Sitting down.
Well, he might stand up. I don't know. But I'm just kind of explaining what happened. And so what was going to happen. Anyway, so that happened, and we'll see what happens.
You could say Nathan Buckley said he's going to have a conversation with
him. I could have. Sorry for what was his, the English language hour?
Yeah, it is, actually. I think it's turning into that. Well, you ask, did they do the right thing by Keefe and Thomas? And looks like in the future they're going to do the right thing by the boys. But have they done the right thing from the beginning? Because they were basically, and this might be a bit of a cut and dry way of looking at it, but weren't they banished from the club when the accusations
they weren't,
or and the first tests were positive?
It was based on their legal advice.
Right.
It was based on the player's legal advice.
So it wasn't the club saying you
That's my
two
understanding.
Can't train
Correct.
Here. Okay.
And the players luckily have the same management, and I think in turn similar legal advice across through the journey. It's look, to be honest, I think Collingwood handled it really professionally, particularly Monday when they had to announce the news. They handled it very well, and often clubs are very quick when there's a bad news press conference. You know, journos might get five or six questions. They did what
but you get seduced by the glamour and the rich
there was
spot
no glamour about it
the
it was
media.
Horrible
that but they were wearing suits and they came out, and why didn't they put them in front of the Collingwood banner then?
They did. The Collingwood
Not
banner
the sponsors
just didn't
banner.
Extend long enough.
Oh, well, the so Collingwood, they were outside the Collingwood banner then, correct?
They were.
Well, depending on what angle you shot them from.
Mm.
But yes, they were. They had the they didn't. It's pretty typical that they don't have the sponsors banner behind them when it's a bad news story. Mm. But my point is, Gary Pert sat there along with Neil Baum and answered every question all the way through until the journos ran out of questions. Now, we didn't get all the answers we wanted. I mean, I wanted to know, and I didn't get an answer because Gary Pert danced around it. Were there other Collingwood players out that particular mm-hmm. night? Oh, I think that's a pertinent question that we haven't got the answer to. Because if that's the case, and it was just these two that happened to get drug tested by Asada, it's pretty bad luck in that sense, isn't it?
Mm.
But I'll tell you what, and the other thing too, is the AFL has, for some reason, agreed with the AFLPA, it seems, not to release the drug data, the illicit drugs data that they used to release mm-hmm. every year. Apparently, there's speculation that as soon as this news broke about Thomas and Keefe, that illicit drug use amongst AFL players has plummeted, because quite clearly now there is a genuine risk that you won't necessarily get done for illicit drugs, mm-hmm. but you could get done for performance-enhancing drugs. Everyone's saying we need a deterrent. I think the deterrent's right here.
Have you got some data to back up
no,
that?
No, I don't. There's just speculation.
Are you saying illicit drug use hasn't plummeted, Drew?
I think it's spiked.
Really?
No. I'm joking, but that's it's a great deterrent for anyone out there on AFLs who are using.
Well, all of a sudden, you
it's even well. If there wasn't a big enough deterrent already, well then,
well no,
that
because
is.
There wasn't a big enough deterrent because you guys at the Players Association insist on one strike, which means pretty much nothing. So you go from one strike, which means pretty much nothing, to a 2-year suspension.
Mm.
It's a pretty dramatic difference.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say, both Keefe and Thomas say, they thought that they were taking illicit drugs. They had no idea that their illicit drugs could possibly be laced with performance-enhancing drugs.
Let alone everything else that they lace illicit drugs with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I remember speaking about this, and the AFL had been, and the medical officers had been warning clubs about the possibility.
Only around that time, only in the few days before that news broke, apparently.
North Melbourne were one of the clubs, Drew.
Yep.
When you say they were banished from the club, just go back a couple of steps. Were they banned from talking to teammates?
No, they wouldn't be.
I don't think so.
No, they weren't.
So what are you suggesting? That the club should have allowed them to come in and continue to train?
I'm not sure. See, again, I don't want to speak out of school here, but I wouldn't have seen a problem if they were allowed to use the facility. Maybe not train with the team on the track, given that they weren't going to be able to probably play in that year.
They were provisionally suspended, though. There would have been technicalities around it. They probably could have. But there's all sorts of limitations when that comes into play. And they wanted their suspensions backdated, of course, which they have been.
Yeah, okay. So if that meant training off-site, training away, not being associated with the club so they could have these provisional suspensions accumulating some time, well, then fair enough. Yeah, I just it was a more of a question at the beginning. I wasn't sure if the club said don't come here, or whether it was again.
No, I think initially it was very much based on their legal advice, and even because of the privacy provisions, all of the information that got released, or a lot of the information that's now been released, because Collingwood did go public with so much of it, including the admission from the two players that they were out taking illicit drugs, which technically they didn't have to say that publicly. I mean, once the suspensions became public, there would have been journalists from every outlet in the country sniffing around trying to find out exactly what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
But,
it was known very quickly, though, Matt, that was the case.
It was pretty evident, but no one had said it on the record until Josh Thomas and Lockie Keefe came out and said it on Monday. No one had said it on the record.
Yeah. Remember, we had journalists searching for answers in New Zealand as to whether that there was glenbuterol in the steak, because New Zealand import some of their meat from China, where it's...
But that was very quickly dismissed by the boss of the New Zealand Meat Board.
Mm. Mm. Well, I remember.
So, anyway, that's...
Drew, Collingwood had every right, surely, to be upset and angry with these two players.
Yep.
And say, don't come to work. You're on the verge of the season.
Yep.
You're out and you decide to take illicit drugs.
Yeah, I guess that you draw attention to the club for wrong reasons. If the players continued training there, there'd be constant talk and focus and attention on these players for what they've done, opposed to the rest of the... But
wouldn't it be fair to say we're going to sack you?
No, I don't think that's fair.
Why not?
For these guys to be sacked on the spot before we knew what was going to happen. Like, I don't think that's fair. I think...
I apologise. I'm saying more now. Why do they stand by them now? They could just sack them now.
Yeah, they could. They could. I just think that throwing them out on the... It's a bit of a...
Not physically on the street.
On the street, but often it's best to keep players and keep people involved and keep them in their routines and keep them feeling as though, I guess, they've got a purpose instead of, these guys testing positive. And I don't think pushing them away from the place would have been the right answer for them as people, given that they're young kids. And how many diversion orders do you hear on the news every night?
Exactly.
This person gets diversion orders, so
I don't think it's fair. I actually don't think a two-year suspension is fair.
I think it's too much.
I think it's ridiculous.
Mm.
I think there's a serious problem. I asked Gary Pert this in the press conference on Monday about were you happy with Asada, and he said he was. I know there has to be zero tolerance to performance-enhancing drugs, but they weren't taking performance-enhancing drugs.
Mm.
And the evidence clearly suggests that they weren't out there trying to cheat. The performance-enhancing drugs code should cover cheats. That's what it's there to cover. It's there to cover people who are trying to cheat the system and improve their performance.
Mm.
These boys weren't doing that. So I don't understand. I can't comprehend why they deserve a two-year penalty, why there's not mitigating circumstances.
Do you think Asada gave them... Asada in the AFL gave them the two-year ban because they'd be worried if they gave them less that WADA would come over the top again?
No, possibly. That's a possibility, yeah.
Mm.
An interesting talking point indeed, and one that's going to continue at Players Association level. Do you think that the club should be informed on the first strike as a member of the Players Association?
When you say the club doctor is informed, and that's all, under the current illicit drugs policy, but there's up for discussion as to whether the football manager, so example Neil Barm at Collingwood, would also know. I think that conversation needs to be had, because I respect players' privacies, but if you've got, I guess, a problem with a few players at your footy club, I think the footy manager needs to know so that they can make decisions about whether to keep a player or to move them on.
And
they're
going to
disrupt the rest of the group.
It complicates it, though, doesn't it? How's a football manager make decisions without informing the coach?
Mm-hmm.
And the CEO.
Well, that's it. There you go. And all of a sudden you've got the club doctor. On top of that, you've got four people at a footy club that know, versus under the current agreement arrangement, it's only one person. So, yeah, you're right.
And doctors know kind of how to keep things confidential because it's kind of part of their...
Yep.
Their go.
Jose Mourinho just sacked her off the off the bench before the game because she ran out to treat a player in injury time, leaving them with only eight in the infield and the keeper, so nine on the field. Anyway,
it's a good story.
Yeah, Just on the 2 years, though, Matt, surely drugs policy is something you've got to have really clear, defined lines on. And creating grey lines or grey areas in this...
But there was already
a
grey area.
Trying to cheat.
There was already a grey area because we have two policies in the first place.
But one's for performance-enhancing drugs and one's for illicit drugs.
Mm.
Now, they took an illicit substance which had performance-enhancing drugs in it, which is...
And they had no intention of cheating.
But on match day, when you have performance-enhancing drugs in your system, you're in strife.
Mm.
Yeah, I reckon... So the average wage is $340,000?
Oh, I think it's slightly less than that, but...
Let's say around about that.
Yep.
Let's say 300 then, for argument's sake. I reckon if you're earning $300,000 a year, and one of the big ways that you can lose that money is what you ingest, you'd be pretty careful.
Mm. Oh, I dare say. And that's why this speculation, although you can't get any confirmation because the league and PA have agreed not to release the data, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest that illicit drug use would have dropped dramatically because of the ramifications now if you get caught with it in your system and it's laced with something.
Mm.
All right, this is AFL Exchange. It was a big news day Monday, that's for sure, because early in the morning, a lot of people in the sports media world were blindsided by the news that the National Rugby League had signed a huge deal, upwards of $900 million with Channel 9 for its next TV rights. A big surprise that this all happened so quickly. And the feedback that we're getting is that it's now going to put the real spotlight on AFL negotiations.
Yeah. Across how many years is this 924?
Five years from 2018. So remember the AFL.
Five or four?
I believe five. 2018 to 2022.
Mm. Yeah. 5 seasons, yep.
Yeah, 5 seasons. It sounds like four, you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's because 22 minus 18
is four.
Four, but yeah.
Mm.
So I understand why Drew did the maths that way. But yeah. But anyway, he's going to Google it. Are you going to Google it?
It wasn't that.
All right. Maybe I'm wrong then. Anyway, big deal for Channel 9 and big deal for the NRL. But the AFL deal actually is in a sense, more urgent because the TV rights are up at the end of next season. So the question is what's going to happen. We spoke on Footy Feed today to a media advisor who'd been involved in previous rights negotiations with the AFL and also the NRL, and he believes that the focus is really going to switch back to free-to-air now. Because you remember the last deal with Foxtel and Seven, Foxtel paid the bulk of the money.
Mm-hmm.
He reckons that it's free-to-airs now because the value for free-to-air TV, because people are streaming things and watching things on, you know, IQ and time shifting and all of that. Sport is one of the only things that you can watch live, and therefore you can put all the ad breaks in. He was saying to me, you know, you can put ad breaks after goals, you've got your pre-game and your post-game where you can put ad breaks. The AFL goes longer than the NRL.
Yep.
So he's forecasting that the AFL could do better
really
than the NRL because of all of those factors.
Lots more stoppage time. You see on the NRL coverage, there's a lot of on the bottom of the screen stuff going on and a bit more paintwork on the fields as well, given that they don't have, like you said, goals and as many quarter-time, half-time, three-quarter-time breaks. This is probably one more for you two on what it means for the AFL. Does it mean... We got $1 billion last time. Does it mean it's going to go to 1.2 or 3
could,
or 4?
No, I reckon the question is, could it go to $2 billion?
Really?
I reckon that's the question. That is aspirational $2 billion, but it's got to be the question.
Yeah, and does that mean that if Seven, you think Fox will still be a big player?
Fox needs it.
Fox needs it because it's one of their main go-tos, isn't it? They've got obviously all their shows on.
Yeah.
If Seven got it, would they be able to show at the same time live footy on Seven and then on Seven Mate as well for Victorian viewers?
Yeah, potentially.
And other states as well?
All part of the question. All these sort of things like HD, whether or not there's going to be the pay TV simulcasts, the digital rights.
Is AFL Media going to have a crack?
Going
for a game?
I've got no idea. I mean, we're obviously
not
involved.
Have you spoken to Pete Campbell, the both of you, about this issue in the last couple of weeks?
I haven't, Drew. I haven't raised it with him in my extensive meetings with Peter.
No, they're keeping it very close to their chests. That's why we had to go and find some analysts.
This is where, though, I think not when the TV rights deal turns over, but in 5 years' time, if it's a five-year deal or there's been some speculation it could be even longer, the digital aspect. We see now that people's habits, like you just spoke about, Matty, are moving away from television more and more and watching things online.
I mean, Channel 7's top rating show the other night was cat videos from YouTube. that they put on air for an hour.
Yeah?
900,000 Australians. I mean, I know Drew's not a big believer in TV ratings, but 900,000 people watched cat videos from YouTube on Channel 7 for an hour in prime time.
So the digital aspect of it, I think, Drew, and just how the season forms, how many Thursday night games there'll be, the time slots and so forth, fascinating.
We were having a really good debate about this question while we were covering training one day this week. Jesse Hogan or Patrick Cripps, who is your pick for the rising star? I reckon it should be a tie.
Jeez, that's new. That's very sit on the fence. After playing against the last fortnight, we've played against these two. I've played against these two guys, so I've seen them both up close, and I'm always a bit biased towards a good key forward. And Jesse Hogan looked outstanding last week. He kicked four goals against us. He's had 36 for the year. He was picked number two in 2013. Paddy Cripps was picked 13 in 2013. So they're both drafted the same season. Cripps is averaging 23 possessions, and he's deceptively tall. He stands at 190 centimetres for a midfielder. That's a really good height, sort of Marcus Bontempelli height. But Hogan, for me, just I feel it's the harder position to play, given that he gets the best defender from the opposition every single week, and he's managed to kick 36 goals in 16 games. He spent a lot of time in the VFL side last year. They basically had him on ice, Hogan. So, waiting to inject him into the senior side. I've just used ice injecting. It's just not really working for me today. But Hogan. Easily. Both eligible for the Rising Star, obviously. Both have been nominated, so Hogan should get it for me.
Hogan for me as well, Matt, for your points. Plus, I think his season's been better, Drew.
Mm. Yep. There we go. Agreed. Matt, have you got an opinion?
No, you've outvoted me.
Now, is it agree or agreed?
Yeah.
I think the use of the D is superfluous.
Oh, right.
We need to get an English teacher in here. What do you think about the Tigers on Friday night? Brett Deledio, apparently he was very, very ill. Mm. I understand they had an 11 o'clock flight booked for him on the Friday morning,
yep.
But there was about a 20% chance that he was going to actually get on it. I love the day of speculation on Friday. Nothing better than a Friday footy story where there's just constant speculation about will he or won't he play. And then the Tigers decided to confirm it at about 5 o'clock publicly that he wasn't going to play because there were TV cameras gathering around the hotel foyer in Adelaide. It was going to get out anyway.
Mm, yeah.
Love a day of Ducks and Drakes.
Was he booked on under his name? I suppose you have to be these days.
No, I assume so, yeah.
Yeah. No, I just made me think, because once upon a time you could change flights and names and things. The clubs that play Ducks and Drakes, a couple of weeks ago, one of our players had to get a scan at one of the medical centres, and the club used a false name. I'm not sure if I'd say this on air, but maybe a player we've recruited over the last couple of years had to get a bit of a medical, and his name wasn't used. His proper name wasn't used when he had to turn up to a medical centre.
So instead of Del Santo,
instead of Dan Salto, Del Santo might have been Lowther. They might have said Drew Lowther's coming in for a scan on his back and his knees.
But this is an example of how the industry is going. There were literally TV cameras at Adelaide Airport checking every flight from Melbourne.
How'd that scan go, Drew?
Well, I'm not going to divulge any more information than that.
Was it back or hamstring when you got the scan?
I'm probably going to get in trouble by probably selling that in the first place.
So Nick Del Santo was in for scans. Well, you recruited him in the last couple of years.
Yeah, there's been more.
We can eliminate them.
Yeah, well, you can, but we're not. I didn't say this on the run. This isn't on the run.
It wouldn't be Sean Higgins, who you recruited last year because he played brilliantly, and he's a recruit of the year.
Well, who knows? He's had a bit of a.
Sean Higgins did have a scan on Monday.
Robin Nahas.
Yep.
I'm ruling him out.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Waite, you wouldn't speak about publicly anyway. So it has to be Nick Del Santo.
It's not. Well, I'm not going to. Is it I'm not Nick Del Santo? I'm not going to answer the question, Matt. Can you please keep this?
Well, let's just go back on point. So, Deledio, obviously, the Tigers missed him, but is it just coincidental that they keep losing without him? It
can't be.
I guess if the evidence keeps.
Have a look at his game the week before against Hawthorn.
No, I know he was critical,
wasn't he?
But so, can you think of any? Is Fife? Well, we always say there's no Gary, no Gold Coast. I guess.
Yep. Fife at Fremantle, well, that's been proven wrong. Yeah. No Fife, no Frio.
But that was never something, an issue, was it? The guy like ran David Mundy, who may have had, given in the summary of the season, in the totality of the season, may have had a better year than that Fife.
You probably win their best and fairest if they. We'll have to wait and see it till the end of the year for the Freo BNF.
As outstanding as Fife has been.
What about Watson and Essendon? Watson, no Essendon. As much of his on field output versus as well as his influence as a captain and his stature.
Maybe.
Goods. We saw Goods not play on the weekend. Franklin down in Geelong. He's missed a couple this year, and they've managed. Well, they only beat Port Adelaide by 10 points in Sydney when he didn't play. I think him and Tippett maybe missed that one as well.
But when they lost to the Tigers in that Friday night game in Sydney as well, the problem there was they went to Buddy too often. Mm. Is there any team in the Gold Coast Ablett one, I think, is true?
Yep.
Is there anyone else, though?
Well, you mentioned Pierce Hanley off the top when you were speaking about the Q clash.
Yep.
I know that when we prepare to play Brisbane, he's one of the guys that you speak a lot of.
Well, he's their best player, isn't he?
Yep.
But there's a difference between being the best player in a team and getting to the point where the team relies on you seemingly solely for victory.
I would say, yeah, that's true. I'd say Pierce Hanley is in the best fit and firing, is in the best 21 in the competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, because as well, the knock-on effect in that situation is that if Hanley plays, well, then your tag is probably going to go to him, which might free up Rich or Rockliffe or Redden or Beams or whoever else they got.
And he, like I said earlier, Drew, he penetrates. His metres gain would be huge. I've never looked at them, but I would imagine that'd be big numbers.
Definitely are.
You're listening to AFL Exchange. One final question, one final talking point for you today, boys. The trading of future draft picks and all the associated razzmatazz, which it sounds like is going to go with the 2015 NAB AFL draft, which is being held in Adelaide a few days before the day-night cricket test between Australia and New Zealand. And apparently hotels in Adelaide already at a premium, so if you want to go to the draft, book your ticket now. They're going to have about 5,000 people, they reckon, in the convention centre. And apparently all the clubs are going to have, they're going to have rooms off to the side, and then they'll be just have a representative out on the floor who they'll phone through the pick through, and then Gil's going to read them out or something. It sounds like they're going to. That's one of the possibilities at the moment.
It sounds like the NFL NBA draft.
Yeah, they're trying to make it. I mean, whether that all happens this year or not, but that's just what's been speculated. Mm. What do you think, Drew?
Too much? Too fancy?
No, let's make an event out of it. It's a great event.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's terrific.
But the trading of future picks is going to be interesting.
You need a science degree.
Mm. Cal Toomey, who I think must have one, filed a story on afl.com.au today. Draft loophole closed. Let me just read you a little bit. Now, Cal's a very, very smart bloke. Would you believe my internet's dropped out, so that's not going to help you. But anyway, apparently 1,723 points is going to be the draft deficit maximum. Like, it's getting very confusing.
It is, and I think it's on the AFL to make sure that, and they've got rules around. I'm not sure of all the rules about how many picks you can draft, on trade, because you might come into a situation where there's some administration of the club who just want to win that flag just at all costs, whatever means, and they trade away draft picks to get gun players in, and it might not work, and then for the next coach and the next board that come in 3 or 4 years' time, they're left with no picks, no players, and just. It's just a disaster. So, again, not sure of the rules around how many they can on trade for. You know, I think maybe for 2 seasons ahead, you might be able to trade on picks, one being a first rounder, maybe a second rounder, and no more. But just to keep an eye on the future of a footy club and not throw all your eggs into that basket and not work and, you know, leave the club on the skids.
It's horribly
four
sad.
Years down the track.
It's horribly sad. This great competition. There's so many clubs that sit on the precipice of destroying themselves, and that the AFL has to interfere continually in the way clubs manage themselves, Drew.
Mm. That's true. It is true.
I mean, these rules, and I understand you need some roadblocks, and lots of major competitions around the world have similar roadblocks, not as tight as this. But surely, I mean, at some point you've got to say this is a competition. And we need to trust the people involved. And if they're not good enough, then find people that are.
And their clubs collapse, and we put a team in Tasmania.
So the Brisbane Lions made, as it turned out, bad decisions a few years ago when they did very similar to exactly this. They'd made the finals or they were around the finals and they bring in Fev and a couple of others and it didn't work out for them. Mm. And now they got the handout for a priority pick. Now, I understand why.
Yeah.
I understand why they're asking for one. If I was at the club, I'd be asking for one as well. And there are different people involved now.
Yeah.
But is that what it's about? You can make any error you like.
Yeah.
And then 3 or 4 years' time, don't worry, we'll fix it for you. Mm. Because we've got to have a strong team in Brisbane.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, that's the reality of it. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, the system is continually manipulated because we can't afford to have teams destroying themselves.
But then
that's not a competition, Matt.
But then look at the and then you look at the opposite in Sydney with the Sydney Swans. Well, we don't want them to be too good.
Yep. It gets confusing.
They've been smart enough to go and get Buddy Franklin. Good luck to them. And then we put this trading ban on
without, I think, breaking any rules.
Not to my knowledge.
So, no. Well, Sydney didn't. They played to them.
That trading ban on Sydney, the trade restrictions, still to this day, I do not understand. They are the most confusing decision out of AFL House in a long
so
time.
So are you saying they should have taken draft picks or fine?
But what for? What have they done wrong?
Well, they've done nothing wrong. Yeah, exactly. And they're a club
because
that's traded players a lot.
Because they're easing out
the
Cola.
Years.
I mean, is the kind of explanation. That's the kind of only explanation we've had, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If that.
Yep.
I mean, it's a very confusing situation.
As Tom Harley told AFL.com.au last week, It's bad for the whole competition.
And we've been trying
you
to get to the bottom of it. We've asked
Swans.
Questions, and we actually asked off the back of the CEO's meeting last week. We asked Travis Old, is this going to be revisited? And he said, no, there's been no discussions about that. Interesting stuff. All right, you're listening to AFL Exchange. We're getting the wind-up from Jack. That means our game previews are not too far away. Also, jump onto the iTunes store and hit those stars. Write a little review, because what we get from
send
you doing that...
Send us a tweet. Like
yeah, send us a tweet at AFL
Jim
Exchange.
B.
Yep. I got a message actually from a guy I caught a plane with in Hawaii. I sat next to on a plane to Hawaii about 5 years ago.
Yep.
Randomly got a message from him the other day on social media saying that he listens to the podcast every week.
There you go.
How crazy is that? I only met the bloke once in my life. And there he's stumbled.
Well, give him a shout out.
Clint, his name is. And he stumbled across AFL Exchange.
Not stay away.
Every week. No. Oh. You're listening to AFL Exchange. Time now for Petrie's Points. What have you got for us, Drew?
Well, Matty, this week just want to speak very briefly on social media and how it consumes footballers as much as anybody. We're just a portion of the community, of the general public, and our players on their phones. Probably we don't get the opportunity. We're not sitting at a desk as such during the day, so we don't have access to the device all the time because we're in the gym or out on the track. But any time you walk into our change rooms, you could almost assume that there was nobody at the footy club because it is dead silent. The only noise that you'll hear is blokes flicking their phones and listening or watching things from Instagram.
So you don't talk to each other anymore?
Well, it gets like that. I know. It is amazing.
I mean, I talk to my colleagues in the newsroom
all the time. Well, we talk. Don't get me wrong. We do talk. But any time that the players are in between a session, the first thing they do isn't go to grab a drink, isn't go to get something to eat. It's go to their locker and pull their phone out and just check what's going on around the world. So no one misses a beat anymore. And you can understand that when it's just in the palm of your hand. You've got the news feeds. You've got friends putting photos and sending you Snapchats of stupid stuff. And
you on Snapchat?
Drew? I'm not on Snapchat.
You on anything?
No, I'm on Twitter. But
it's funny you say this. Sorry, can I interrupt just 1 second? I'm not interrupting Petra's point, which is very controversial. Trent Cotchin the other day, when he was asked about Brett Deledio's illness, went into graphic detail about all the phlegm he'd been coughing up.
Right.
And then said, I can show you a photo.
Oh.
Now, would he have been joking, or do you reckon that it's possible he actually had a photo?
Well, quite possible. Given some of the photos that the boys exchange at the footy club.
That was a worthwhile interruption, Manny.
Talking about Brett Deledio's phlegm.
It's disgusting.
It is. When the boys are in their ice baths, it's a quick way to make 10 minutes go by is to sense the boys are always taking stupid photos and there's Snapchats getting sent around. I think I've said this on the show before, but the guys actually compare sledging after some games if they haven't performed that well or we've had a loss.
From fans.
Yeah, from both.
Has it ever affected you?
It did a little bit. probably not this year, but the last year, when you just get negative people bagging your form, sometimes players take it to heart a little bit.
Yep.
But I'm not anymore. Now what we do is we just get together and we talk about them and laugh at them. And Brent Harvey, obviously, a lot of people who don't follow him, but those that do will have seen him send tweets to just in response to the abusive ones that he gets, that all the haters inspire him into being a better player now, today.
Here's a question for you, Drew, that I hadn't thought of. Brent Harvey has copped a lot over his career. Did he have a view on the Adam Goods situation?
Yeah, he did. Yep.
I understand if you don't want to speak on his behalf.
Yeah, I'm not going to, but he had a view on it. Because Brent's probably gets booed as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
In any particular side. But it was funny on the weekend, just to go off topic a bit, when we were handing out the footies after the game, and he was giving little kids on the bench, hanging over the fence, high fives. He was walking along the boundary, and I was a few paces behind him, and he stopped and started talking to someone, and I thought it was a friend of his in the crowd that was stopped to say hello. And this person was probably six rows back. And I went over there, and he just finished having a conversation. I said to Brent, "What's going on there?" And he said, "Oh, this bloke just yelled out to me, 'You're a effing maggot, Harvey.'" And Boomer stopped and pulled the guy up and said, "Hey, mate, there's kids around. That language is not on. Let's pull your head in." And then walked off. So that's what happened on the weekend. But Brent, just going back to Brent getting booed and receiving tweets about his form and he should give up and that, he loves it, he thrives on that sort of stuff. So the blokes don't hide away from it. They're used to it. I think we accept it more now.
Even the young blokes?
The young blokes, yeah.
Like if Luke McDonald was to cop it, who's a regular senior player, mm-hmm. do you think he is as well equipped as Brent Harvey? Well, who's
no, probably not. No, you're right.
It's pretty dangerous territory at mm-hmm. times. Matty, you'd cop a lot, I imagine.
No, from time to time, yeah.
And how do you take it?
Depends. Most of the time, fine.
Mm.
But if you're having like a flat day for whatever reason, it can get to you.
Yeah, I think people should understand that before they send some of these things. I mean, some of it's vitriolic. And you always, here's a test. Would this bloke say this to your face?
Exactly.
Probably not. Richie Porte, you mentioned Boomer. Richie Porte in the Tour de France was being called Team Sky. And Chris Froome won the Tour de France. They were the dominant team. Being called a drug cheat after one stage, so he pulled up his bike and called the bloke over. Bloke didn't want to speak about it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I guess with the social media thing, how many people or staff do you have here dedicated to all your social media?
So we've got a team of four.
Yep.
Two permanent and two part-time social media people.
So that's just given. That's just how big the area is. You've got four dedicated staff members.
It could be bigger than that too as mm-hmm. well. We've got, 30,000 interactions a week.
Yep.
Pretty huge numbers when you speak about it. But some of the vitriol they cop, thinking that they're making the decisions, or people out there thinking that Tyson Densley and Dion Bennett, who are two full-timers, are making the decisions for the AFL. They cop some absolute abuse. In fact, we were talking to Tyson the other day about the amount of words they have, because you can have blocked words on Facebook in particular.
Yep.
They've got 400 or something that immediately blocked.
Just obviously swear words and just
and variations vulgar. Of swear words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Abbreviated spelling of
all
those
that sort
words.
Of stuff. People try to use different techniques to get through the filter.
Mm-hmm. And our guys want to be informed of information through social media now, through Facebook, through not so much Twitter, but a lot of our guys, I reckon our first and second year players don't have email accounts, and of the other 30 players on our list, about half would actively use an email. And I was speaking to some of these first and second years, they want to hear information from the club on their, like obviously private, in their private groups, but through Facebook as opposed to email.
How does the club communicate with you guys?
Text message,
yep. Yeah.
But we've got a calendar on our phone that has training information.
That's synced by the club,
but we also get text message every single night.
And you've got the, as we established earlier this year, Drew, you've got the wallet phone, or the purse.
Yeah.
Did you get that to thumb your nose? Oh, his and hers, of course, Nicole.
Yeah, matching. She's got a black one, I've got a black one.
Footy, yeah. Is this your way of thumbing your nose, or is it because you use it in the ice bath and you wanted some
sort of protection? I don't want to break my phone. What's wrong with that? And you don't have to carry a wallet because it's all in one. That's a selling point.
Right, game previews. That was Petrie's point. Game
That's
previews.
Selling points.
Coming up. We are not a breaking news program, but sometimes while we're recording the show, we do get news come in. we're always monitoring for information as it comes in. Do you think that there was a bit of a push last night after, or Tuesday night after, Adam Cooney got a one-game suspension from the AFL Tribunal when the case was sent there by the MRP with a view that maybe it might need to be three games as opposed, like more as opposed to less, because that's why they didn't grade it. And he walked out of there with one game. With Adrian Anderson, the former footy boss of the AFL, as his lawyer, there's so many quirks to this case. Do you think that Mark Evans perhaps should have appealed that? Because the AFL General Manager of Footy does have the right to appeal, and there was a push on for him too.
I don't think there's many more things in footy I'm less interested in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just hearing he got one for that. Mm. Yeah, I was surprised, but good on him.
When are you not?
This was rough conduct, of course, against Canelio.
That's my point. When are you not?
Well, I guess just thinking on the spot, and the people might feel these examples are too far away to use, but it didn't look too much different. Obviously, the injury wasn't as bad, but didn't look too different to what Lloyd did on Sewell. But I mean, obviously, Sewell had his head over the footy and was in a world of hurt compared to Canelio, but they look very similar.
So, Mark Evans did consider appealing today. That's the news that is just to hand. But after exploring the options today under AFL regulations, they also got some legal advice, which showed the prospect of success in any appeal was low. But the AFL says it is going to look at the rules off the back of what happened last night. That is very interesting, I thought. You don't care?
No, the system doesn't work, Matt.
Well, I think it's very interesting that off the back of pressure from the media, Mark Evans has come out with a statement like that tonight.
Well, why would you think that?
Did he say that? Did Mark Evans say on the back of pressure from the media?
No, I'm saying that.
Yeah, well, right.
So I don't believe that's what he's done.
Pumping up your colleagues.
You're not saying that's why they decided to issue a statement?
No. I think he's issuing a statement because there would have been a lot of interest in it.
Which is pressure from the media, isn't it, largely?
Yeah, I think you can say that. That's not my version of events, Matt.
Mr. Evans said the AFL would seek further advice on amendments to the regulations and guidelines for tribunal members to clarify the AFL's position on head safety, as it did not believe that a one-game penalty was appropriate in this circumstance.
Well, Cooney, didn't he say that himself? He thought he was going to get two or three. Yeah. He agrees.
And all of this with Adrian Anderson as his lawyer. Mm. Unbelievable times at the tribunal last night. This is AFL Exchange. Controversial edition of AFL Exchange. Let's get stuck into the match previews now. Round 20 coming up. Can you believe there's only four rounds till finals?
Yes, and you know what that means. Our man here sitting on our left, Frank the Tank, comes out in September. But what else might come out soon? How's your contract, Drew?
Good. Yeah, going well.
Have you re-signed for a year yet?
No.
Are you close?
Depends what you ask. If you ask me, I'm closer than I was 2 weeks ago.
So negotiations are ongoing?
There's been no negotiating so far, but we've just had one meeting to have a conversation.
Do you go to that meeting or just let manager go?
No, manager and the club's list manager. So they look after that. Did you two blokes know that this round of football, there are five games going on between sides that have yet to play each other this year? So 10 sides.
Doesn't surprise me.
But that still, after this round, not everyone will have played everyone yet.
No, isn't there a game in round 23 where the teams haven't played each other? I'm not sure.
By round 23 everyone will have played each other, but in round 22 we play the Bulldogs and we haven't played them yet.
That'll be interesting.
So I can think of three of those games off the top of my head, I reckon.
In round 22?
No.
This round, yep.
Far away?
No, well, as we go through.
All right, done. Well, this is one, Collingwood versus...
That was one of mine.
Yeah.
It's Collingwood versus Sydney at the Sydney Cricket Ground, 10 minutes to 8, the bounce of the ball. This is the first time that the Pies have played at the SCG in 15 years. Yep. Looks like Travis Cloke will be back for the Pies, and they will also play Reid and Moore, according to Nathan Buckley, at least earlier in the week. And it doesn't sound like Lance Franklin is going to get up. Those back problems still hurting him. He did not train today.
Won't play.
You were onto his back, weren't you? Was that like a month ago? I reckon you brought up his back a month ago. I reckon it was. Credit where it's due. Well done. Inside information there, and he's missed this week. Missed last week.
Huge finals ramifications. The Pies are clinging to hope that they can still potentially make the eight.
Do you know no player currently on Collingwood's list has ever played a game at the SCG?
Because they always used to play that feature match at ANZ Stadium. For quite a few years there, remember, they were the standalone game in the split round, or the feature game of the split round. So, you know, while the rest of the competition had the weekend off,
that was
the showcase game. There might have only been one or two other games.
Pies won the last two against the Swans. 13 of the last 15, if you can believe that.
Really?
Wow. Mm.
It's a good record, isn't it?
Yeah, Scott Pendlebury was superb the last time they played.
I reckon they're a chance.
Last season. He was incredible at the ANZ Stadium. You remember that game, Pendlebury? Yep.
If Richmond can beat Sydney at the SCG, then surely Collingwood can.
Well, going on form, it's a very difficult game to pick. I was in for the Q Clash, so I was getting prepared for that game while Collingwood played Carlton last weekend, but I understand it was one of the ugliest games of the year.
Apparently it was dreadful.
Mm.
I didn't see a heap of it myself.
I listened to it on radio, and that call came out three
or four
times.
The call was dreadful.
No, the call was fine.
All right.
Triple call about the game. The Pies need cloaking if there's any chance.
And yeah, well, he's going to play, I think. I watched him train today. I watched the entire session pretty much. And you know I'm not an expert, but he seemed fine to me.
You're a physio, are you, Matt, or a doctor?
He lost it.
Matty T. We better take up the run here.
Oh, that was ridiculous. Tips?
Yeah, Sydney, sorry. Sydney.
Apparently, Matty T looked at one of the trainers and said, how often do you do this?
he was out there the whole time.
Difficult one to pick. I think the Swans need to find some form.
Oh, I'm going
to
pick Collingwood.
Swans for me.
Essendon and Adelaide is at Etihad Stadium. This is the early game on Saturday afternoon. Will this be James Hurd's fourth last game as coach?
This is another game, Drew, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. They have not met this year.
No, they haven't. The last time they met was round 14 last year.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other question?
James Hurd's fourth last game. He's contracted next year.
No, no, yeah.
Geez, Essendon are going to have to pay him out if they
Paul
wanted to finish.
Got plenty of money, that's what everyone keeps saying.
Really? What's he own? Who's he own?
Is he the boss of Toll?
Managing director.
Managing director,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a bit of an acquisitions man, isn't he? Paul Little.
I know, there's talk that he might become the Grand Prix chairman.
No, I think he missed.
Oh, he's missed out on that now.
I think so, maybe.
Yeah.
That news might have come out last week. They're a club going nowhere, the Bombers. They are playing dreadful football.
Firm.
They have a number of ex-greats who are publicly disparaging
the football
club.
Well, for Bomber Thompson
to say
they are drowning,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge call. And you can't just say, oh, Bombers bitter because of what happened.
They have got really hard decisions
Matthew
in front
Lloyd
of them.
Matthew Lloyd has kind of indicated
he won't be there
that he
next
won't
year.
Be there next year.
He's not going to be involved.
No, because at the moment it's jeopardising his role as a media commentator. I mean,
he's having to stay neutral.
I think he's finding. I got the impression just from watching him on Footy Classified on Monday night that he's finding it a bit tough.
So do you reckon he'll unleash if he relinquishes his role at Essendon?
I don't know. He doesn't seem like the sort of bloke to put unleash.
Not unleash, but be a bit more opinionated than what he is at the moment.
Maybe.
To the negative.
But you know what? I think he's actually been one of the great things that's happened at Essendon this year, but the work in particular that he's done with Joe Danaher.
Yeah. Yep.
I've been long reticent not to call for the head of James Hurd, but it almost looks beyond the point now. It's a difficult sell to Essendon members next year if they roll over with the same sort of stuff.
And haven't they been loyal, the Essendon members?
Absolutely.
Talk about stick by your club.
So how do you sell it next year?
All right.
The Adelaide Crows were very good last week.
Whatever it takes.
Over the Tigers. I think we all tipped Richmond last week in the game, Matty, your Tigers. To see the dominance of Adelaide, given that they've been a little bit up and down this year and they're teetering on a finals appearance or not, to play the way they did, Walker was outstanding up front. Pity he couldn't kick straighter. Their midfield dominated. They probably gave Richmond a pretty good reality check after they'd beaten Hawthorn so comfortably the week before, so Adelaide Crows should win this game by lots.
It was as close to they've played in that Phil Walsh way style that he had them playing since his tragic passing, I reckon. They were fantastic to watch. Just on Tex Walker, who's your favourite forward in the competition to watch, Drew?
He's one of Jeremy Cameron.
Right.
Yeah, just his agility.
Do you like watching the Bud?
I do. He's just too good. He's so good.
Yeah.
You got a favourite?
Buddy for me.
Yeah.
Then I think Tex Ruffhead, I really enjoy watching.
Tex is like your old school 1980s full forward, early 90s, just aggressive, big.
Yeah.
Plays it full forward.
It's old style footy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is with Tex.
He's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you, Drew. We love to watch you.
That's what I was going to say if you had asked me.
Who's going to win the game?
Adelaide for me. Very difficult to pick the Bombers.
Adelaide. North Melbourne, St Kilda is at Bluntstone Arena. Are you heading back to Tassie?
We are, and we haven't played the Saints this year yet. So first time that
the forecast is going to be cold?
Well, every time we've played down at Bluntstone, it's threatened and it's been windy and rainy at times. But as soon as the game starts, it becomes perfect. In saying that, the last time we played there was West Coast, and a few of the boys were kicking the ball. It would go 40 metres, and before it hit the deck, it would pull back about another 10 metres and only cover 30 metres. So
I think Boomer kicked it to himself at one point.
Pretty much.
As hard as he could.
He does that most weeks. If you've got to watch him, he'll handball and kick to himself. The Saints aren't going too bad. They had a bit of a they had a bad loss last week. I haven't seen Luke Delaney out there, my old teammate, for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. I thought he must have been injured. Apparently he's playing in the VFL at the moment, so I was sort of going to be watching some of his clips to see what he's been doing and how he's been playing. But I'll have to... I think Hugh Goddard's been spending a little bit more time in defence for the Saints, so I'll have to scrub up on his type of footy and his pros and cons. They've got a good midfield, Armitage, Montagna. They've got guys capable of getting under your guard. Rewild up front, he's just a workhorse, and he'll keep our defenders' hands full. But I think we should be right to get the job done on Saturday afternoon.
Kept the Saints to 3 goals the last time you played them as well, which was down there in Tassie. Nick Dalceno under an injury cloud, as you told us earlier in the program, Drew. But I think Melbourne for me.
North for me as well. Port Adelaide and GWS. This game is at the Adelaide Oval at 4:05 local time. That's 4:35 in the east.
Is it Adelaide?
I've got one certainty in this game. They will break their record attendance for games between these two sides, which currently sits on 25,122.
Oh, yeah.
They'll break that. Port Adelaide have been massively disappointing, obviously. They've had the wood on GWS. This might be the time that GWS can get over the top of them.
Well, they're playing for a final spot, obviously, GWS, and Port Adelaide pretty much done. I wonder at what point, I think I said this, asked this last week about Collingwood, but at what point do Port start to play... Maybe try and get some games into some other players.
Is there anything that you can see, Drew, that you say, oh, this is why?
Well, maybe...
This is what's happened.
No, well, I think last year we spoke about Darren Burgess and how fit he'd got them, and everyone was spruiking about they're the fittest side in the competition. I don't think they'd be any less fit this year. If anything, that they should be fitter this year than what they were last year. So if that's the case, well, then how come they're not as good... aren't sort of a side that's looking like a six-point side away from playing in a grand final. Maybe the reliance upon this sort of fitness and this perception, which we all feared somewhat last year, isn't there anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure it carried as much weight internally as it did externally, though.
No, internally, of course not, it wouldn't. But externally, if people are going to believe it, well, then you're going to run with it.
All right, tips for this?
Port Adelaide, just...
GWS for me.
GWS for me.
Geelong and Hawthorn at the MCG. Also a huge game.
Hawks smashed the Cats in round one this year. 62 points from memory.
Same again.
Mm-hmm. Bruce kicked 5 in that game.
Yeah. And coming into some form too is Luke Bruce. Very, very good last week against the West Coast Eagles. Huge win for the Hawks in Perth last Saturday night.
Even though we all expected it, but to get it done. And they were slow to start, Hawthorn.
Yeah. Not playing their best footy still. In fact, they've only had 2 really good games for the year, I reckon. Maybe 3.
That's all. As a Hawthorn supporter, you're going to say they've only had 2 or 3 good games this year?
Oh, I'm not saying as a Hawthorn supporter. I'm saying it as someone who watches footy for work.
Yep.
Really good games I'm talking about, Drew.
The Cats, after their good win, very good win against Sydney last week.
Yep.
And on the back of it being Stevie Johnson's 250th game.
They'll have some
belief. Yeah, absolutely they will. I think there was an article written on afl.com.au about beware riding off the Cats too early, which is fair, given how well they played last week.
And given their experience as well. And that's got to count for something, doesn't it?
And I think Geelong, they're Hawthorn clashes. I don't know this for a fact, but I can only assume, and from things I've heard through various people, that they set themselves for these Hawthorn clashes. This is their final for them, effectively.
Anyone prepared to tip them, though?
No.
No, Hawks have won the last 3, I think, against the Cats.
The Kennett curse well and truly gone.
Yeah, Hawthorn for me. Hawthorn have got to keep winning as well, obviously.
Hawthorn for me. Carlton Brisbane at the Gabba.
Carlton's form's been okay at the Gabba. I was speaking to Jared Waite before we played up at the Gabba.
Oh, you do talk to him?
Yeah,
oh,
lots. Good. Lots more than that other bloke might suggest.
Oh, I was just believing the perception.
Is this a joke?
No, I was talking to him about, just before we played Brisbane at the Gabba, about how he went up at the Gabba when he was playing for Carlton. He said they always went quite well up at the Gabba against Carlton. Against Brisbane, sorry, in his Carlton days. So, looking at me funny.
A lengthy conversation.
Anyway, what are we... I mean, obviously, there's a lot riding on this.
There is. You being sarcastic?
Yes.
Well, there's draft picks.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Shacky, the number one forward in the TAC Cup, that'll be the Shacky Cup. Well, they were playing for that last week.
Shacky Shield, sorry, was it?
Yeah. It'll be a close game.
It's a blight on our competition, isn't it, that we play for draft picks?
We should have a conversation about that in a couple of weeks, I reckon. I think
we're
there should be some sort
today.
Of lottery.
Mm. I agree.
Mm. True. For the bottom four or five sides of finishing the competition should be a lottery, absolutely.
If you're the Brisbane Lions, why would you want to win this?
Mm. Same goes for Carlton. They can just keep dropping back and get the better picks.
Be an interesting game to broadcast, that's for sure.
Mm. All right, I'm going for Brisbane.
I'm going for Carlton. Richmond and Gold Coast at the MCG.
Carlton for me,
Drew. Thank you. Richmond and Gold Coast at the MCG, 1:10 on Sunday afternoon.
Again, these sides...
Interesting history.
Yeah.
They haven't met this season.
Well, they haven't. Nearly 2 years since they've met.
Yeah,
two seasons.
Round one last season was when they last played.
That's an unbelievable length of time. Now, was that at Metricon, but these sides have played a lot up in Cairns
the
before that, too.
The previous 3 years before that, yeah.
Mm. One of your favourite stories
Carmichael
in footy.
Hunt goal.
Could you say it for my man, Michael Whiting? Can you tell us what you really barrack for, Matty?
That day?
No, in general.
Oh, the story always comes first.
Really?
I was talking to Fitch about this last week.
I was shattered when Carmichael kicked that goal, but then it took me only a couple of minutes before I realised that is an amazing story. How are we going to milk this for the next 5 days to get as many angles as possible out of it?
So Deledio's back this week?
He was at training and still a little bit crook, but I think he was all right.
Mm-hmm. That was your assessment?
That was my medical assessment. I've been out and about this week, haven't I?
You have been. You've been busy.
Not up and about, out and about.
Only the second time that Gold Coast will play at the MCG this year. Met the Demons in round one as well.
And the Demons won that time, didn't they? Yep.
Yeah, they did. So, I saw that game.
Yeah, Suns I was at that game. Actually.
Suns have played there 8 times at the MCG in their footy life and have only won twice. They won't win this weekend.
They're probably a pretty good crowd there, I'd imagine.
I think Richmond's averaging, home crowds are averaging about 50,000 this year.
Richmond for me, Western Bulldogs and Melbourne at the Etihad.
Well, Melbourne defeated the Bulldogs earlier in this season.
Yeah.
Round 8, 39 points.
Story of the year, if Matt Thompson, if the Bulldogs make the top four. They're in the top four now.
The good news story of the year?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just good news story. Mm-hmm. What's the bad news story?
Oh, there's been
well, there's been a
plenty.
Few terrible ones.
Yeah,
okay.
You're right. Given, I don't think the fact that Melbourne won early this year, I think the Bulldogs are obviously a completely different side, just kicking over 100 points at will. And what about some of their forwards at the Bulldogs, like Stringer? Now that I've said all those forwards at the Bulldogs, I've forgotten all their names. Give me some of the forwards at the Bulldogs, Drew Lowther.
Matt Thompson.
I've
lost. It's one of those things. I've put myself.
Cremery. He's been good. Stewart, look, gone, didn't he? Didn't he? I went and watched him in the reserves a few weeks ago, and he was playing in the midfield. And he looked lost.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys were questioning, can he get back?
Mm.
But he's been good since he's been back.
He? Yeah. Well,
playing in the forward line.
Yeah, and they've got Boyd, who's not playing all that often, but. He's not being their goal kicker. It's just been those mid-sized forwards, which I guess the Bulldogs have always had question marks
Does
over.
Does anyone else have a problem with that, by the way? Boyd playing in the VFL?
No.
No?
Why?
Not when they're winning like this.
I think it's concerning that they're paying him all that money and he's just...
Well, they're not paying him all that money
Well,
yet.
Not yet. No, that's true. He's on a rookie as the first draft salary at the moment, isn't he?
But he's their player, so they can play him where they like.
Mm. It's their decision. Mm. Well, you saw what Melbourne did with Hogan last year.
You'd judge it in 3 or 4 or 5 years,
Hogan,
wouldn't you?
Jesse Hogan wasn't...
But he wasn't allowed to play.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's why. Glad we cleared that up.
But you would judge it in 3 or 4 or 5 years, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's a bit early. They didn't pick him for around 20.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't offer him $7 million or whatever it was so he could play this week.
Fair enough. It'll be interesting to see if he plays in finals. Fremantle and West Coast, this is
Is Luke Beveridge the coach of the year, or is a premiership coach the coach of the year?
No, maybe it is Beveridge.
At the moment, it's Beveridge.
As we stand now.
Yeah. Where we stand.
Adam Simpson's been very good as well.
Actually, yeah. True.
That's the thing.
How dare we forget our Western Australian
listeners.
We'll
get to the derby in just a moment. Western Bulldogs, Mel. Everyone's sitting in the Bulldogs. Yes. Just confirming. Yep. So Fremantle West Coast. This is the biggest derby ever, they're saying, over there.
Why are they saying that?
One versus
given
two.
That's, well, yeah, true. Yeah.
Remember the last time Fremantle skipped out, I think they kicked 7 or 8, 9 goals maybe?
Yep.
9 goals, I think.
9 goals in the first quarter.
Yeah. And then West Coast won the next 3 quarters of that match.
Mm.
Sadly, Nick Natanui won't be playing for very sad reasons, of course. Yep. I don't think he played in the first derby either.
I'm not sure.
And, of course, he didn't face a Hawks. So West Coast still hard to get. I mean, last week, I was talking to West Coast person about this post the Hawthorn game. Their bona fides are on show now. They're the real deal.
Yep.
They are the second or third best performed team in the competition this year. They haven't had Nick Nat, who's perhaps their best player, probably their most influential player, in a couple of big games now. So there's still that edge come September.
Hmm.
Our heart goes out to Nick Natanui.
Also, there's McGovern that they won't be with, and Lacrosse suspended.
I mean, you have a look at their injury list. Well, we talk McKenzie, about the Lions and Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, but I'm just talking specifically from last week this week.
They've done an almighty job, haven't they?
Yeah, and then the Dockers look like getting back Fife, Johnson. So, all right, the Dockers, it'd be hard to tip against them, I reckon.
It would be. If West Coast obviously don't want to give up 9 goals like they did in their earlier clash this year, but last week against St Kilda, Fremantle did concede goals late. So maybe they run out of gas and put a lot into their first halves and then try and hold on. So and whereas West Coast came in over the top, as you said, Drew Lowe, the last time. So if they're within striking range at halftime, West Coast, they're a big chance. And for that reason, I'm going to tip them.
Wow.
Fremantle for me.
Yeah, for
I think Michael Johnson coming back into the team is huge for Freo. Very, very important to their setup.
All right, there you go. There are our previews. That, of course, is the last game on Sunday. There'll be a huge audience for that right across the country. Of course, it's on free-to-air TV in Perth and on cable around the rest of the country, and also available on the AFL Live official app. Righto, AFL Exchange coming to an end for another week, but let's go around the table for your person of the week and someone who it is a big week for.
I mentioned him earlier, Pierce Hanley for me. I love the way he plays footy. It was great to watch him get in a bit of nick at the Gabba.
Person of the week, Steve Johnson in his 250th against Hawthorn.
Person of the week, mentioned him before, Adrian Anderson. What a comeback to the tribunal process.
Well, it's a few
weeks old, I know it's his second appearance there, but we didn't give him. I don't think he got enough prominence when he made his first appearance a few weeks ago.
Well, we wrote about it.
I know.
We interviewed him. We spoke to him.
I don't think he got enough prominence.
Probably because it didn't have by Matt Thompson.
Mm.
Well, that's an issue, well, for, our, had, that's an issue had, for our editors, isn't
had
it?
Had staff writers on it.
No, it didn't. Nathan Schmuck, our man who covers the tribunal. Very good number one man in the business. My big week four, masterstroke too, by the way, Adrian Anderson bringing in Rodney Eade for a character assessment when it's supposed to not count.
Mm.
And it helped him.
In the system, isn't it, not doesn't count in the system that he devised? Wasn't that a legacy from when he put it together?
Perhaps you're right.
When they cut out.
Certainly in this current incarnation.
Yeah, which is the tribunal hasn't really changed from his system.
It's a big week for the people who count the crowd at the Gabba.
Yeah.
Last week, the crowd came in at a tick under 20,000, so 19,975. 10 minutes later, they adjusted it to 20,025.
Mm.
There was a late surge, was there?
One of the men in the media box said they've just counted the players. Now, perhaps they did. How would you explain the difference?
Mm.
Anyway, big week for them.
Yeah, it is. A big week for Nick Bowen, for AFL.com.au's own Nick Bowen.
Wow, what's he done?
Well, I was at training on last week, and I was doing some run-throughs with Jamie McMillan, and Jamie glanced over to the media throng that had just broken up from the press conference, and he said, looked at the media guys, and he looked back at me, and we kept walking a couple of paces, and he said, Nick Bowen doesn't really ever get dressed up to come down to North Melbourne presses, does he? Not like the other journos from like Channel 10 and 7 and 9. I said, yeah, he doesn't really, does he, Jamie? So, Nick Bowen, get dressed up, please.
Make an effort, Nick.
And finally, for me, it's a big week for Collingwood. It's pretty obvious why. A
couple of things that I just want to
Oh, this is the end of the show. We're done.
Yeah, I just want to talk about before we go. Now, Drew, some North Melbourne business. We've left the Kangaroos alone.
Yes.
Understand the ladies. A big week for WAG, so criticised for losing Australia the Ashes. But North Melbourne, a real family team. They embrace all the families involved for the players and the staff down there. We know that. They had the girls down for training.
That's right.
This week.
Yeah, they had the girls. It was actually it was Thursday night of last week.
Right.
The girls or the players' partners, with wife or partner, come down and they got dressed up and they did some footy skills.
And did they all wear their husband's corresponding number?
Yes.
Now, my understanding, Nicole was there.
She was.
There's a video on the North Melbourne website too if you want to go to it. Now, I have to lie and say that's how. No, sorry, not lie. I have to be honest and say that's how I found out about it. I checked the North Melbourne website and there it was. And I was very interested to see Nicole there. Now, my understanding is that she refused to kick or handball to Jared Waite's wife.
You're kidding.
Is that true?
She came home with a sore thumb and I said, oh, what happened? Did the footy, you know, pop, you know, land on the top of your thumb? And she said, no, it's sore from handballing. So I said, harden up. Yeah, so she had a good time.
Has she got a new appreciation for what you do? Is that the first time she's been involved in anything like that?
Well, they jumped in the ice baths and did all that too. And had a massage and did training and did a pre-training meeting. And yeah, they went for about 3 or 4 hours and they did get an appreciation. Just like I got an appreciation today, had the day off and got an appreciation for what she has to do every day and look after 3 kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeez, that's tough. Oh, I love coming here on Wednesday afternoons.
My brother did it. Took some time off from work, and he's got 3 as well, and he speaks the same thing. They do a mighty job. Mums and dads who stay at home, that's for sure. Now, the other one, Drew, final one. This involves you, Matt Thompson.
Well,
at least we think it involves you.
Mm.
Our man, this has caused a lot of controversy, Drew. You know about it. I think I might hand it over to you because I don't feel totally comfortable with it. Our man, The Echo, wrote the story.
Yep. So the headline is Elation Over Departure. The AFL media team cheered when an email confirmed the departure of AFL official Dorothy Hisgrove. The diverse member of the AFL executive team battled them in the Fair Work Commission, arguing they were content providers rather than journalists. Ooh. Our spices, it was a carnival atmosphere. Oh. So deep was their animosity towards Dorothy Hisgrove for claiming, Maddie, that you're only a content provider and not a journalist.
Now, who wrote the story?
The story was written by John Ralph. I'm going to see his initials at the end, JR, from the Herald Sun.
Our man, otherwise known as The Echo. Now, Maddie, you're very, very close friends with Johnny Ralph.
We're mates.
I wanted to put this on the agenda. The story is, I was in here, it is factually wrong. It is as wrong a story as you'll read.
So there wasn't balloons and streamers and
there were any
fairy bread?
There was barely a murmur.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Where did John get that story from?
I have no idea.
Ooh, Matt?
He certainly didn't get it from me. I wasn't even here. I was in editing.
There's a lot of leaking going on in footy.
I was in editing.
You should work for a
Well, I did say the story was wrong.
Pardon?
Matty's known to put a bit of mayo on stuff from time to time.
It was absolutely had nothing to do with me. In fact, I said to Ralphie, because I hadn't seen him all week.
Oh, Ralphie now.
And I said to him... Boy. On Sunday, I said, people are going to think I like that. And obviously I didn't. But, I do wonder where it came from too, actually.
So we'll keep a close eye on the rest of the Echo's copy for the rest of the year.
Do you think there's going to be... What possible interest would I have in saying something like that to the media?
I'm not sure. Anyway, no, we know it wasn't you, but we wanted to put it on the record, on the public record. Mm. Your denial.
Thank you. I'm glad you've done that. And that'll do it for this edition of AFL Exchange. Have you had fun?
I have.
Excellent. Good luck in Hobart.
Thank you.
Good luck to you wherever you end up next. And that'll do it. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the footy.